This is Pastor Mike Hoggard, pastor of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri, and head of Prophetic Research Ministry with another Watchman video broadcast. Let me show you a picture. I'm sure you have seen this picture before. I've seen it all my life. Take a look at this, all right? This is evolution. If you go to Google and you type in evolution, this is the picture. In fact, you're going to see several renditions of this. I've seen this all of my life. I've heard about evolution. I was a public school graduate, and so naturally I was taught the theory of evolution. I was taught the theory of evolution as if you believe something else, there's something wrong with you. I even remember at a young age, I was sort of mystified by evolution. It was intriguing to me. I would see shows like Planet of the Apes, and which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and other shows, movies that dealt with dinosaurs and 50 million years ago and all of this stuff. And I was intrigued by that. But by the time I got into high school, I pretty much made up my mind that the Bible was right and the evolutionary scientists were wrong. They were wrong on everything that they said. Even one time, my high school 10th grade biology teacher, who was an evolutionist, he let us have a debate in the classroom. And I guess the kids decided that since I'm the one that talked so much, that I should lead the debate for the creation side. And I remember giving my little spiel in the biology class about why I believed in creation versus evolution. I remember when I got done, I got some high fives from some buddies of mine in the classroom there that I knew went to church here in town. And so anyway, I've always, I guess most of my life, been a champion for the cause of creation. I don't believe in evolution. Let me say, I don't believe in evolution the way that it's been portrayed so far. Let me show you this picture again, because you see, you know, how it sort of gives you the idea that man once started out as this, you know, low life form, and he eventually ascends upward, and now he stands erect, and he is on the evolutionary scale, and he's moving along, and he's self-aware. There's a part of this picture that you've probably never seen before. They sort of kept quiet about it, because you need to think about the logicalness of evolution. If it really was this way, what is the next step? That's what we're going to talk about today. But as I said before, I believe in creation. I believe it staunchly. I believe what the Bible tells me to believe. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means correct teaching. Doctrine for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm one of these that sort of believes that if you are a man of God, then you should believe the Bible as well. You should believe what the Bible says. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from on this. If the whole core of Christianity is about what's going to happen to me when I die. Now, that's what we call in theological circles, that's what we call prophecy. Because I am believing something from God that has not happened yet. Okay? And here's my thing on this, and I thought long and hard about this. I think that if you're going to trust God for the future, that you should be able to trust Him for the past. In other words, if you think God is telling you the truth about your future, then it just seems logical that you would want to believe that God is telling the truth about our past, about Earth's history, man's history, where he came from. Let's look at some of those verses that talk about that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, and there that word is, created the heaven and earth. So God created everything. Then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see, one of the problems with evolution, one of the philosophical problems with evolution, is that it gives people the idea that you and I, as human beings, are really no different than any of the other. I want to say the word creation, because they don't believe in creation. But it gives the idea that you and I are really no more special than any other living thing on this planet. And actually, you know, we're just pretty much on the same level as the monkeys and the grasshoppers and the birds that chirp up in the trees. We're really no different than they are. And if we get in the way of all of the other, see, I almost said creation again. If we get in the way of all of the other living things on this earth, then maybe we should be just gotten rid of. Have you seen the Georgia Guidestones? Go down there to Highway 77 there outside of Atlanta and find the Georgia Guidestones, and they'll tell you that they, one of the things that they really think is man's in the way. He needs to learn how to live equally with all of the other little animals and birds and plants and flowers. And really the only way to do that is to reduce the population. Watch this now. From 7 billion people down to 500 million people. 6.5 billion people need to be gone off the planet. I wonder how they think that's going to happen. I think they already think how that's going to happen. But anyway, and yet the Bible says that when we believe that we're created, God created the heavens and the earth. He did it in 6 days. He said, oh, see, I believe in creation and evolution. See, you can't do that. Well, the days of the Bible were like long spans of time that God evolved the earth and the universe and man during that time. Oh, really? You see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says phrases like, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day. And the evening and the morning, that's 24 hours. I mean, I understood that when I was a child. So it doesn't mean long spans of time. It means exactly what God said it means. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 literal days. And God created everything just like that. He said it. And it came to pass exactly the way he said it. And so God created man in God's image. I would hate to get to heaven standing before the throne of God, of the God that I have never seen before, and find out that he looks like Chim Chim. Okay? I would not want that. I don't think that we were created to be chimpanzees and gorillas. My father-in-law, very wise man, didn't have a whole lot of public education, okay? But he always asked the question, if it's true we came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? Not bad. Not bad, okay? This is how he did it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Didn't say anything about monkeys or protoplasm in a pool of goo or anything like that. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, I want you to look at that word, became. Man became a living soul. How? By the actions of God breathing his breath into man's nostrils. Nothing about a gradual process over millions and millions and millions of years. It doesn't say anything about that. It said God took man, he formed him out of the dust of the ground, went, and man was alive. Just like that. The Bible does not teach evolution. It'll teach you creation. It'll teach you the fact that not only did God create all the animals and birds and plants and trees, not only did God create all the fish and the whales and the sun and the stars, but God created mankind. And God created mankind in a special fashion than he created anything else. He actually took man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul, not just a biological function. Man became a living soul. And so God created man. We are his, I'll read this verse here in a little bit. We are his workmanship, the Bible says. God formed us and fashioned us in a particular way, which means that, see when you make something, pretty much common law says when you make something, you have rights over it. Okay? Mommies and daddies make children. They have certain rights over that child. If a man writes a novel, if he writes a book, if he writes a song, he has copyrights to that. God has rights to mankind. God has sovereignty, governorship over them. And so God, even God tells us concerning the idea of, you know, as young people, did we come from monkeys or did we come from God? God exhorts us. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, God is commanding us to remember our Creator, not necessarily when we get old, but remember Him in the days of our youth. And I want you to think about the wiles of the devil, how the devil has stolen into the educational processes literally all over the world. There's not a public school or university anywhere in the world that doesn't teach evolution and teach it as fact and say, if you're a creationist, you're just an idiot. Get off our staff. Get off our campus. They won't tolerate anyone who has an adverse opinion of it. And they have, the wiles of the devil has come into the public school system and taught entire generations of children, you're not any more special than that fish over there. You're nothing. You're just part of the biological processes of the earth. And if Mother Nature, you see, they say they don't believe in a God. Maybe they're right. They believe in a goddess. Let's say if Mother Nature says, you know, man, you've had your chance, you're ruining me, get off, and then we'll let the cockroaches take over. Well, then so be it. That's not the message that God sends. God sends, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember me. I'm the one that made you, and I have rights over you, and I can say what I want to do with you. You need to remember me and not forget what I said in my word. Isaiah 43, verse 1, the Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. You see, this goes to what I was saying. God says, I made you, I can do what I want with you. I have called thee by my name, and thou art mine. And he says, I created thee, and then he says, I formed thee. You see, evolution says that it was all accidental how this all happened, which to me is that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. That all of these millions of accidents happened, okay, to form all of these different things of life that are on this planet. It startles the imagination when you think of how it might have worked. It was all by accident, they said. God said, no, I did it on purpose. It was deliberate. I formed thee. And because I formed thee, you're mine. Okay? I'm your God. See, that's part of it right there. Why do people not want to believe in creation? Why do they want to believe in evolution? They believe in evolution because it lets them believe that there is no God and they can do whatever they want to do. They can then determine and dictate their own morality. They can live in all the pleasures of life and not have to answer to anybody. And then when they die, they're just dead. It's no big deal. God says it ain't so. Revelation 4:11. This answers the question of why. Why were we created? Why were we brought into this earth? Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created them for his pleasure. God loves to see the earth that he made. He sees mankind. He sees the trees, the animals. I tell you what, I like, you might want to call me a tree hugger, although I've never went, I love you, tree. Okay? I mean, I use trees for firewood and for climbing up for deer stands, and I used to, that when I was a young man, there wasn't a tree I wouldn't climb. I would get, Missouri's full of cedar trees, and I would get up the top of these big old tall cedar trees. Cedar trees are not known for being very, you know, stout. You get up to the top of these cedar trees and you endure all the grief that goes along with it. You get up there in the top and the wind's just blowing and you're just a swaying. I used to love that. God created a wonderful world for us to live in. We get pleasure out of it. God gets pleasure out of it too. And I want to tell you something. God created you and I for His pleasure. God will recreate you and I. That's the born again process. God will recreate you and I for His ultimate pleasure. There is coming a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God says in Isaiah 66, He said, which I will create. The new heaven and new earth is not going to evolve. I'm not going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to make it happen. And it will give the ultimate pleasure to God. Notice how this idea, I'm going to read some verse here in a little bit. Notice how this idea of creation is linked to someone's salvation. Remember when David, when he committed that sin with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, tried to cover up the pregnancy, and boy, what a ratbag David was, okay? And yet God said he was a man after his own heart. That just sort of shows you the nature and the character of God, that he loves his creation even though they sin. God knew that David had a soft heart. And so here is David, even after that wicked sin, he writes in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, I just believe the words of the Bible. And I think that word create there is a better word than, Lord, I hope I evolve into a higher form. That's not what David said. Lord, you created me. Now I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart. I want a clean heart. So listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. That means he was created. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the new heaven and new earth, God said, which I will create. I will create. In fact, I won't leave it up to you to make it. That was all. That gets into the whole Tower of Babel thing and the New World Order and all this stuff. Okay? I'm just telling you, there's always an opposite to God. God says, I'll create it. It'll be perfect. Man says, led by familiar spirits and the devil himself, man says, we'll create our own new world. We'll do it ourselves. Okay? It's not a good idea. I'm telling you, it's not a good idea. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, if you believe and accept that you were created, you believe and accept that you were created for a purpose. For something. Okay? I hate to use the phrase purpose-driven. Okay? But you really were created for a purpose. You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so, I think it just benefits someone who wants to believe God and wants to be saved. I think it just benefits them to say, you know what? I just believe God created the heaven and the earth. He did it in 6 days. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. And if I want salvation, I want God to create in me a clean heart. I would like for God to create for me situations in life where I did things that were good rather than doing things that were bad. That's what I want. That's what I want. Okay? Let's look at this picture again. Little chimpanzee walking around. Oh, and all of a sudden he can walk upright, and oh, he's losing his hair, and he's standing up straight, and now he's a man. Now he can think. And that's what evolutionary science wants you to believe. They want you to believe that by accident now, by accident. Let me kind of explain this, how they do it. By accident, there was this pool of goo had some chemicals in it. I don't know where the chemicals came from. Had some chemicals in it. And something happened. Maybe lightning struck, you know, like Frankenstein or whatever. And something happened. And all of a sudden, some of these chemicals just kind of came together in exactly the right fashion. Okay? Now, I'm not a biologist. I know a little bit about it. I know that in every cell, the cells are what makes up all life on the earth. I know that in every cell there's a nucleus, there's DNA. We've talked about that before. It's like a book. It's like a book written, okay? think about how God created everything. Go back and read Genesis 1. And God said, and God said, and God said. You know what he was doing? He was just reading from the book how it was supposed to be. And so anyway, here is God. Oh no, here is the cell. And it has the nucleus, it has the DNA in it, it has all the different mechanisms inside of the cell. Some that take in things like sugar, convert it, burn it into energy, and to feed the cell so that the cell can multiply and divide. Something interesting about cells, and what we know about cells, is that you have all of these processes going on inside of a cell, and if one of those processes don't work, that cell's dead. Okay, I mean, they're just real vulnerable. And if all of the things inside of a cell are not there or don't work, that cell does not recreate, does not produce another cell. So what evolutionary science wants you to believe is that in this pool of goo, something happened, and all of a sudden, every part of a cell, that we even the simplest of cells, everything about it, including the formation of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, happened just like that. And it was in this such a right condition that it grew and multiplied. And eventually, out popped mankind. That's what they want you to believe. And hopefully you're sitting there going, you know, that doesn't make sense now that I think about it. I hope that's what you're thinking. Let me tell you what the Bible says about their science. And then we'll tell you where their science came from, and then we'll tell you where their science is going. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. The old Timothy. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of, look at here, science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Paul's last instructions here in 1 Timothy to Timothy, a young minister, was avoid the profane babblings. Don't listen to the professors. And don't listen to the oppositions of the science, falsely so called. Paul said it's not science. It's not. You know what the word science means? Science means knowledge. Means knowing something. And evolutionists, they don't know anything. They think they know something, but they don't know anything. And they're calling it science, but it's not. It's conjecture, it's theory, it's mysticism and religion. We'll find that out in a minute. It's science falsely so-called, which some profess have erred concerning the faith. You see what happened with a guy named Charles Darwin. We'll get to him here in a minute. Charles Darwin decided to reject the teachings of the church into believing something that some others had formulated over time. He decided that he would accept that. You know what he did? He erred from the faith that could save his soul. He erred from that and decided to follow the science falsely so called. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Let me tell you how it came about. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Let me bring Charles Darwin in here again. Okay? He wrote a book called The Evolution or The Origin of Species. And he's the one that really popularized this idea of random now, chance evolution. At one time, he knew who God was. He knew about God. He was raised a good British man, and the British have a religion called Christianity. It's the Church of England. And at one time, Charles Darwin knew who God was and knew about him. Okay? But he knew God, but glorified him not as God, and was not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. See, it keeps throwing this word professing in. Professing people are called professors. Okay? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what evolution teaches? It teaches that God didn't create us. We just, without even knowing it, we created ourselves. That's the religion of evolution. And Paul told us about them in Romans that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man. Evolution births humanism. Humanism says man, listen to this now, man is his own deity, his own God. Wonder why, if you're a humanist, why do you bring the word God into it? Why do you do that? There's a religion behind it. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served, here it is, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They worship the creature. They say, oh, the beauty of the species, the beauty of evolution, the miracle of evolution. You hear them talk about this as some amazing thing. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. See, it's all still about religion. Even though they say, oh, no, this is science and this is humanism. No, it's still about religion. Back to Charles Darwin. On the Origin of Species. This is the book that he wrote. Like I say, at one time, he used to be a guy, you know, he knew something about God, but at some point, he decided that he didn't believe the Bible. He wasn't going to believe the Bible. And so he's the one that first really put forth this idea. In a climate now, in the mid to late 1800s, you have sort of a renaissance of critical thinking. Westcott and Hort, the two guys who are responsible for all the false Bible translations. See that symbol there? Okay, that symbol represents evolution. Westcott and Hort came about at this time. Helena Blavatsky, we're going to talk about her in a little bit. Okay, but there was like this occult rising and people questioning God and people questioning the Bible. It sounds a lot like the time that we're in right now. By the way, this occult revival that took place in the 1800s influenced a young German soldier by the name of Adolf Hitler. Just kind of throw that in there, okay? You see, that kind of critical thinking and that kind of questioning God, it always births an Antichrist. It always does. And this is where we're headed right now. Here's something that I've never read Origin of the Species. And some of you might be saying, well, if you did, you'd have your eyes open. Okay? I've never read it. I wouldn't believe it if I did. I'm just going to believe this Bible right here. You say, well, you're awfully closed-minded. You are too for just believing in evolution. Okay? Just throwing that in there. But someone pointed this out to me one time, and I went, oh, I know what that means. The front cover, you know how you open up these old books. Okay, here is Morals and Dogma, which, believe it or not, it's a book about evolution. Okay, on the front, you have Fat Albert Pike here, and who kind of looks like Santa Claus. But anyway, we have Morals and Dogma of the Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemason. You have the whole title of the book that won't quite fit on the spine here. Okay, so in the full title page of Origin of Species, because remember, I want you to get this now. Evolution is not just about where we came from. It's about where we're going. On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or, this is the alternate title, they used to do that back then, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. I talked about this probably a couple years ago, dealing with eugenics. Charles Darwin was not just a monkey worshiper, he was a racist. He was a racist. So was Blavatsky, and so was Crowley, and so was Elise Bailey, so was Annie Besant, so was all these leaders and progenitors of the New Age movement. They were all racists, okay, every one of them. They believed that white people were going to be the ones who would continue to evolve, okay? That's what the basis of the Origin of Species was all about. It was about selecting a particular race and advancing them. And if you don't belong to that race, stinks to be you. You'll be left behind. Okay, but like I say, here is Charles Darwin. He comes out about the same time as Blavatsky. Actually, she comes just a few years later. And Blavatsky taught a different version of evolution. She didn't like Charles Darwin. She didn't like his theories, how he came up with it. Charles Darwin really said, God schmod. Okay, God didn't have anything to do with this. Here's what I see. I went to the Galapagos Islands, and I see that it looks like that accidents happen. Accidents. Okay, freaks of nature, mutants running around that just made us better into what we are now. Okay, Blavatsky didn't like that, and she said, you know what, Charles Darwin, you're off your rocker, buddy. I'm not saying Blavatsky was some holy saint. Blavatsky said, of course we evolved. Of course it took millions of years. Of course that God didn't create everything. But we didn't evolve to this point by accident. She believed, here's her book called The Secret Doctrine. She believed that a group of hierarchical entities, aliens, ascended masters, familiar spirits, devils, fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, she believed that they were the ones responsible for guiding the evolution of mankind up to the point where we are now. But that at some point, these same beings were going to interject themselves once again and bring mankind to the next phase of his evolution. Remember, okay, you see the chart of the monkeys turning into a man. There's more to that chart that you haven't seen. I'm going to show you what that is. But here's what Blavatsky said in her book, The Secret Doctrine. She said, in the creation of new species, it is the quote-unquote designers who direct the new evolution. Thus, when we say that nature provides for every animal and plant, whether large or small, we speak correctly. Now, when she says nature, she doesn't just... There's the science nature and the occult nature. Science nature just says, it just happens. You know, it just happens that way. I mean, we could have had a foot coming out of our mouth, which is interesting because a lot of people have a foot in their mouth. That's what science says. The New Agers and the occultists say, we believe in evolution, but we were brought here for a purpose, okay? Sort of like the mockery of what God said. We believe that nature is actually a spirit, a goddess, Gaia, Isis, Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is the one that is guiding the next phase of man's evolution. Not too long after Blavatsky, a guy by the name of Richard Maurice Buck wrote a book called Cosmic Consciousness, a study on the evolution of the human mind. Here is what he wrote about where evolution is going. He said, this new race is in the act of being born from within us. Think about all the things that we've talked about in this broadcast and in these teachings about what the Bible says is actually in us. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, is no good thing. Jesus talked about the things that are within the heart of man, the corrupt things, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All of those things are from within man, and they defile a man because they come out. Look at what he's saying here in this book, Cosmic Consciousness. This new race is in the act of being born from within us, and in the near future, it will occupy and possess the earth. Are you kidding me? Here is God and His Son Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation chapter 19 to do what? He says, I'm taking over. It's the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Well, He will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Who does He come down to defeat? The beast, the false prophet, all the armies that have assembled themselves together. The new race. They said, we're going to own the earth. It's going to be ours. We're going to take it over. But he talks about this new race being in the act of being born. Listen to what the Bible says concerning what's in us. Therefore, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's birthing terms. Okay, you see where we're going here. Evolution doesn't just have a history. It has a future. It has a future of new races. Manly Hall, in his book, secret teachings of all ages. I reference this quite a bit. Not because I believe what Manly Hall said, I don't. But because his book tends to be an index, and I like indexes. I don't like to read whole entire, I like the short story version. His book tends to be the Reader's Digest condensed version of all the mystery ideas in the world. Okay? Here's what Hall said about evolution. He said, the occultists of the ancient world had a most remarkable understanding of the principle of evolution. They recognized all life as being in various stages of becoming. They believed that human creatures were in the process of becoming planets. You know what the word planets means in the mystery religions? The planets were the gods of the heavens who ruled over, in their mind, who ruled over planet Earth. So you know what Hall is saying? That all the mystery religions and all the occultists believe that one day that humans would evolve to become gods, to become celestial beings. Marilyn Ferguson writes in her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. I read this several years ago. I made notes in there. I went back to those notes. Here's what she talks about in her book concerning what the New Age movement is all about. The New Age movement is all about evolution. Okay? Her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, happens to have this symbol on the front of it. This is a symbol for man's next phase of evolution. She talks about human metamorphosis, emerging man, new person, Homo novus, a new human being. In other words, so here we have the occultists, we have Charles Darwin. We have the early progenitors of the New Age movement saying, yeah, we're going to evolve into a new race. We're going to be like a new species. We're going to have new DNA. Our chromosomes are going to be all transformed. And all of these things are going to happen. And then mankind will bring in this wonderful era of peace and enlightenment. We even get into Rosicrucian doctrine, Freemason doctrine, Rosicrucian doctrine. They have this idea of the rose blended with the cross. And if you don't remember what the cross represents, I'll show you here in a little bit. But here is basically the core of Rosicrucian doctrine. The manner and the means by which the present day man is transformed into, here it is, the divine Superman. This symbol, the Christian Rose Cross, shows the end and aim of, here it is, human evolution. The solution of the world mystery, man's past evolution, present constitution, and particularly the secret of his future development. So you know what they're saying? In our religion of the Rose Croix, the Rosicrucian doctrine, here's what we believe. We believe that at the core of our doctrine is the idea that man is going to become God. The divine Superman. You've heard of Superman before. Up and away. Did you know that he fell from heaven? And think about the symbolism of Superman. Say, oh, you read too many comic books. No, I used to. But I just happened to know this about Superman. He fell from the heaven. He was from a race of beings that were superior to us. He fell from the sky. He's from a planet called Krypton. You know what the word Krypton means? It means secret. It means a mystery. Okay? That's what the planet Krypton represents. He came out of the mysteries. He fell to the earth. He grows up to be a god on this earth. Go watch the original movie Superman with Christopher Reeve. Okay? You'll hear him called a god in this movie. And then, of course, you know, you move on and the god mates with the human Lois Lane and she has a hybrid baby. Genesis chapter 6, go read it. That's what Rosicrucian doctrine is all about. The cross, remember, is a picture of the chromosome, the X chromosome, where all of our DNA is stored. And so I have found out from reading, you know, just various sources in the New Age and the occult, that basically the whole core and the direction that all of the New Age teaching and all the mystery religion teaching is centered upon is the idea of the DNA of mankind. The Bible calls DNA seed. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel prophesied that a kingdom was going to come. They were going to come down. Okay? Daniel chapter 2, the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so that the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They're going to do. And if you study the UFO teaching, if you study the New Age movement, you will understand. You hear things on the internet about DNA activation and DNA transformation and triple helix and all this stuff, and we've taught on this stuff. You'll hear that because they're teaching everybody that at some point these ascended masters are going to come down and they're going to tweak man's DNA. It's like turning a switch on. They're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden man is going to evolve. What man used to have is two strands of DNA. Now they're going to mingle themselves in with the seed of men. That's what that symbol is all about. How did that get started? Okay? The seed has already been mingled. Genesis chapter 3. I've highlighted here, and you've heard me teach this before, but in case it's the very first time you've heard me, I've highlighted for you in the King James Bible the words that the serpent, spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Then he says, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, right there, the very first deception and lie that was told on the earth was, Eve, how would you like to be God one of these days? How would you like to be a superman? How would you like to be a superhero? Somebody in our church, during deer season, they were out of town. They went and visited a church. And they said, well, they weren't using the king. They were using all these funny Bibles and this and that and the other. And he said, the whole sermon was about how you could be a superhero. How you could have powers. And this. That's what the whole sermon was about. I got some things to talk about that's evolution's moving into the church. Not so much the former teaching of evolution, but where it's headed. But here we have the serpent planting his seed into Eve. How did he do it? He spoke. He said, well, I don't understand that. Mark chapter 4, the parable of the seed and the sower. Here we have a seed, sows in the ground. Jesus said, let me tell you what this parable is. The seed is the word, or he says the seed is the word. And there is incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. There is corruptible seed, which was Satan's words in the Garden of Eden. And I counted these words. 46 in the King James Bible, exactly that Lucifer spoke in verse 1 and in verses 4 and 5. That's what he said to her and implanted his seed there by speaking that to her. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, listen to this parable that Jesus taught. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. See, here's God, and he puts Adam in the midst of the garden, his wonderful creation. So much so that God calls him, in Luke chapter 3, the Son of God. Adam was a prototype of the Son of God. And here is Adam in the garden. God fashions his wife from his flesh and blood, so their DNA is absolutely the same. And now something happens. The enemy comes in, the dragon, the devil, the serpent. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Something was sowed inside of there. The 46 words matching the 46 chromosomes of man's DNA. I talked about Rosicrucianism a while ago. The Masonic House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. The Grand Lodge of all of American Freemasonry. This magnificent building with all these little pagan symbols all over it. You see, it has two structures. It's made, first of all, like a Greek temple. And then on top of it, it has a step pyramid on it. There are 33 of these columns that support this Greek temple. And then there are 13 steps on this pyramid on top of it. 33 plus 13 equals 46. It's the number of chromosomes. It's the number of words that the devil spoke to Eve. Even in the two branches of Freemasonry. The more I study Freemasons, the more I realize that Freemasons don't even pick their nose without having a symbol to it. Here we have Freemasonry. You have the Scottish Rite and the York Rite. And everybody says, well, you know, they just went two different ways. And there's a reason. You see, the Scottish Rite has 33 degrees in it. The York Rite has 13 degrees in it. And I want you to note, that's 46, by the way, same number. And I want you to notice that Freemasonry, here you have these guys on the lower part, and they hope to ascend to a higher level, one step at a time. That's what Freemasonry is all about. It's about the evolution of man, because it's based in part upon Rosicrucian doctrine, which talks about the past of man and his future evolution, him becoming a god. That's what Freemasonry is with its levels. You get to the high level, now you can be the worshipful master, you can be a god. It's the exact same thing as what's taught in evolution. Evolution says, oh, we started out in this primal state, but over time we've gotten better. And I told you, you know, you've seen this image before, the chimpanzee turning into a human being. There's something missing, something left out, something you haven't seen yet, is that it doesn't stop with just man. It goes one step further into the Superman, is what it's about. The fusion, as Ray Kurzweil is one of these futurists. Ray Kurzweil has made a lot of statements here lately. He's made a lot of press. Time magazine even featured him and his ideas on the front cover of Time magazine this year, 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Here we have this person here that's linked in with electronics. Somehow, some way, scientists are going to figure out. Ray Kurzweil was predicting, hey, we're close. Within the next, let's say, 30, 40 years, we're close now to the point where man, you know the word immortal, it means God, where man will become immortal. Rather than as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible talks about mortality, or this mortal must put on immortality because God changes us, man says, God, we don't need you. We'll change ourselves. We'll either do it electronically, or we'll do it genetically, or we'll figure out a way of doing it both ways, but we are going to become gods. We just have to change some things. We have to tweak some things and change them. We might need a little help, but man is going to become a god one of these days. This article was sent to me yesterday. As I'm putting this together, I could not believe my eyes. This is recently. Bionic contact lens to project emails before eyes. The vision is to stream real-time information in front of the eyes. A new generation of contact lenses that project images in front of the eyes is a step closer after successful animal trials, say scientists. I want you to stop and think about this, okay? You're driving down in a car, you hear a beep, you pull your cell phone out, someone sent you a text message. And you know what we do? We think we're already gods. We think that we can drive the car, pay attention to oncoming traffic, and write a note with our thumb. That's what we think. It doesn't work out all the time, does it? So we're not gods yet. And this is called the singularity, the point at which computers become so smart and that humans meld with these computers somehow, some way. And I had said even back then, and I'm not some big prophet or some big prognosticator, but I just kind of could see where it was going. And I said, you know what, at some point we won't be using our thumb to send text messages. We'll just go blink and we can keep on driving and send our text messages. In fact, at some point we may not even have to do this to drive our car. We'll just go and drive our car. And here we're at the initial stages right now of having a contact lens, an addition to the human body that is able to project messages right in front of the person's eye. And then they never have to look away. We're getting close, people. We're getting very close. Here is a man by the name of Juan Enriquez, making some waves. I had several people send me this article. MTech, get ready for a new human species. Now that we can rewrite the code of life, Darwinian evolution can't stop us, says investor Juan Enriquez. He's writing in here about, he's like Ray Kurzweil. He says at some point, we're going to write our own Bible. We're going to write our own book. Our DNA, it's got some mistakes. We're going to change that. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix what's wrong with us. We're going to become gods without the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. That's really what this is all about. It's like the devil saying, God, we don't need you. That's what's going on here. Okay? The question was asked, why do you think there's going to be a new human species? Juan Enriquez says, the new human species is one that begins to engineer the evolution of viruses, plants, animals, and itself. As we do that, Darwin's rules get significantly bent and sometimes even broken. By taking direct and deliberate control over our evolution, we are living in a world where we are modifying stuff according to our desires. I want to be a god. I want to be able to do this and do that without being held accountable to my creator. You see what's going on here? Here's another article. Corporations are patenting human genes and tissues. Okay? They're able to rewrite the code of life. And here it is, right? I want you to get this. Because if the scientists, now I want to show you this, okay? I'm going to illustrate this. This is perfect right here. I believe that this is the book that God wrote, okay? I believe that God wrote this, and I don't have a right to change this book. And actually, in earthly realms, this book is actually copyrighted, protected. You say, King James Bible is not copyrighted. In the United Kingdom, it is. It falls under what's called the Royal Letters Patent. When King James authorized this book to be translated and they delivered it to him, he said, it's done. And nobody can change it. He put it under the Royal Letters Patent, which means the crown, the monarchy of England, owns this book in the United Kingdom. And they say, nobody has a right to change this book. It belongs to the monarch of England. Okay, right now belongs to the Queen. It'll belong to her heir, whoever that is. That's who it'll belong to, and no man has a right to change it. They say, fine. We'll rewrite it. We will significantly change it so we can apply for and receive our own copyright. New King James, NIV, New American Standard, New English Version, the Holman Standard, I mean, you name it. The Message Bible, they're all copyrighted. Okay? They said, you know what? We can't change that one. We'll just write our own. That's what they did. Now it's not the Word of God. It's the words of the committee. It's their words. You see, because this article here, corporations are patenting genes and tissues. You know what that is? They're taking what's already been written and they're rewriting it. And they're saying, it's ours. It's our book. It's our DNA. It's our genes. It's ours. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And listen to this. And their word will eat as doth a canker. You know what that word means? Cancer. Okay, their word doth eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So watch this, okay? These people here said that this has errors. We're going to correct them. The genetic scientist says, it's so terrible. Let's change it. And then we'll copyright our changes. That way it's ours. I think that you should be able to see here a time when a human being will no longer be born free. He'll belong to the company. That's what he'll do. Here's another article. Pandemic possible. Scientist genetically modifies bird flu with scary results. They're tampering with it. Okay? And they think they're smart enough to figure out, oh, it's safe. This article here, genetically modified mutants, quote, safe for release into the wild. They're taking little mosquitoes and they're tweaking their DNA a little bit so that the mosquitoes don't carry the malaria virus anymore. And they say, it's safe. Don't worry about it. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen all the movies. I've seen all the movies where the scientists modify something and it turns out bad. I've never seen the movie where the scientists modify something and it turns out to be glorious. Okay? There was a movie here, what was it, last year, called Species or something. Oh, I don't remember what it was called. Anyway, they mixed human and animal DNA into this gal and, okay? Didn't turn out so well, did it? Okay? By the way, she mated and reproduced and it's going to take over one of these days. This brings us back to the days of Noah. Remember the days of Noah? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The whole earth had corrupted itself, except Noah and his generations. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his what? In his generations. Noah's generations, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, their DNA had not been corrupted, like what was going on in Genesis chapter 6, sons of God mingling with the daughters of that. The mingling of the seed had already taken place, with the exception of Noah and his family. Okay? Noah was perfect in his generations. And this idea of evolution, I've told you now, of where it came from, what it represented, and where it's going. Evolution now is the next. See, we're not going to wait. We're not going to wait another million years to see what might happen. We're going to bring it on. We're going to do it by the year 2045. That's what Ray Kurzweil said. I don't know how true he is, but we're close. We're going to change our own evolution. And we have to get everybody to go along with it. And so we're going to pummel the marketplace of ideas with themes of evolution. It's being marketed everywhere. Products, advertisements, ideologies, religions. Think about this. Here is a company called Verifone. Now, let me stop right here. Okay, you know what Verifone does? Okay, Verifone has a company where if you go to a retail outlet and they say, how would you like to pay for this, cash, check, or charge? And you pull out a check or you pull out a credit card, they go, they swipe it in the machine, and in some cases it's an NCR and they have their own logo and their own thing. But here, Verifone has this little thing sitting there, and you go swipe, and it's got a little screen on there. And what it does, Verifone sends the card information in and checks the card. I used to work in retail when I was in college, and we had a book that we would get every month that we had to check every credit card number up against this book. Okay? That's so 1980s. Now Verifone says, we will take control of all the buying and selling. Are you with me? Revelation 13, so that no man might buy or sell, save that he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, it's all about evolution and controlling how the money is changed hands. So here we have this company called Verifone. And they have a product called VX Evolution. I want you to look. They have what's called the principles of evolution. And I want you to notice how they've crafted. Number one, we're dealing with the theme of evolution. And how they've crafted the V and the X. Do you know what that logo is? Here it is right here. It's the Masonic square and compass. And this particular square and compass shows you the 33 degrees of Scottish Rite Masonry and the 13 degrees of the York Rite of Masonry, and both ends of the compass are touching these two columns called Jachin and Boaz. In the Bible, these are the two columns and the front porch of the temple. Remember, the Bible says the temple is the human body. And here are these two columns, and Jachin is 23 cubits tall, and Boaz is 23 cubits tall. That's 46, number of chromosomes where our DNA is stored. Okay, and on one column is a globe of the earth, and on another column is a globe of the universe, so the heavens, the stars, the angels. And they're all mingled together in the 46 chromosomes that are represented by Jachin and Boaz, and the 46 levels of both the Scottish Rite and the York Rite of Freemasonry. I'm telling you, that symbol is about evolution, because the joining of the compass and the square produces a letter, produces the letter G. That happens to be representative of a number, by the way. That's the number 7. It's the 7th letter in the alphabet. Read Revelation 13, you might understand why. Moving right along here, here's the next page of Verifone's VX Evolution thing. It says it began with great genes and evolved into genius. Now I want to stop right here. I want you to kind of think about this. This is kind of some new thoughts with me, but I think I'm on the right track here. Here we have God creating Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden, and they have access to the tree of life, and they're going to live forever. Here's the dragon, the devil, the serpent. He comes and he speaks 46 words, and he plants his corruption into the bloodline of mankind. It's kind of like when you take yeast and you put it in dough. Okay? Now, the dough doesn't go poof. It takes time. Okay? It takes a long time until finally the leaven has come to the full. Okay? You see, we've already talked about how this all represents like a birth. On the back of the $1 bill, he favors the birth. Anuit coeptus. He favors the birth of a new world order. And so look at this slogan again. It began with great genes and evolved into genius. It's about man becoming gods. Cars. BMW. Cars that are named Evolve. Okay? This whole theme of Evolve. HTC. It's one of these Android phones. Stop, think about this. You know what the word Android means? It was a word coined, I can't remember who did it, but a science fiction writer. The word andro means man. Okay? And so Android, we always apply to like a robot, like Data on Star Trek. He's a robot who wants to become human. Okay? He wants to, there's this mingling of humanity and technology together. And so Google, you know, the world power of the internet, writes software code that they put on cell phones called Android. It's these so-called smartphones, which, by the way, just released yesterday, coming out big today, that apparently on every one of your smartphones, I don't have a smartphone, by the way, I have a dumb one. On every one of your smartphones, they found a code in there that's been writing down everything you've said, everything you've done, every place you've been, every picture, everything you've done on that phone recorded it. Send it off somewhere. Who knows? HTC, and their brand name is Evo. Remember, it'll come to a day when we won't be holding our cell phones up to our ear anymore or doing this. We will evolve and have the technology within us. Shoes name Evolve. Here is, I even found like fishing gear called Evolve, and notice their logo here. You have the chimpanzees turning into the upright man who then turns into the great fisherman. It's all about planting ideas of Evolve. I want you to watch a commercial. This portion of the Watchman video broadcast is brought to you by Gatorade. Take a look at this commercial. If you want a revolution, you must evolve. Take a look at it. If you want a revolution, the answer is to be born.
heart's inside. Throw your hands up, praise, praise with pride. Hold your head high, no need to hide. EVOLVE, come on, get inside, come on, ride with me. If you want a revolution, the only solution, evolve. You gotta evolve. If you want a revolution, the only solution, evolve. If you want a revolution, the only solution, evolve.
A revolution is coming. By the way, they used this same idea. There was a movie that came out this year called Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Apes. Okay? And I remember somebody said, Pastor Mike, you got to see the trailer for that. I remember watching the trailer, and the theme for the theatrical trailer, it was on YouTube, says, there can be no evolution without revolution. I want you to remember that. You see, the word revolution has the word evolution in it. It's hidden. It's secreted in there. It's occulted in there. So you hear about revolution all the time. Themes of evolution and or revolution, they all deal with the same thing. The idea that there's going to be this massive chaos and then a paradigm shift, and all of a sudden we're going to be gods one day. We're going to have our seed mingled. Okay? And so I'm watching this movie, Planet of the Apes. I'm watching this theatrical trailer, Planet of the Apes. And I watch it about 3 or 4 times and I get it. I get it. I know who the apes are in this movie. They're us. You see, one of the New Age theories about evolution, and Blavatsky was keen on this. This is why she didn't like Darwin. Darwin just left everything of a spiritual nature out of it. Blavatsky said, ah, not so, young Darwin. Blavatsky believed, kind of like what you hear from even science writers, not science fiction, science writers, is that how did life get here on the earth? They said it was seeded. It was deliberate that these space aliens, or whatever you want to call them, put man's original. If you see the movie Mission to Mars, it's exactly what that's about. The Martians need to survive. They plant their DNA all over the earth so that it will evolve one of these days and be able to go to the same ascended place that they are when they've evolved high enough. It's everywhere. Okay? But the whole thing about Planet of the Apes, and I caught this little screen capture, the corporation that manipulates the genetic system in these monkeys to give them this ascended ideology and the self-awareness is called Genesis. It all goes back to as it was in the days of Noah. Video games coming out. This one called Deus Ex, Human Revolution. Notice the human creature. He's grown wings. He's a spirit. Now, he's a god. Do you know what Deus Ex means? God within. Think about all the things that you've heard maybe from churches or religious meetings where they talked about the God within you. Contemplative prayer is all about tapping into and unleashing the God that is already within you. That's the tares that the enemy sowed a long time ago, the leaven, a little leaven that leavened the whole lump. Okay? Brian McLaren is one of the key leaders in the emerging church movement, leaders in contemplative prayer, who talks all the time about paradigm shifting and about evolution and about revolution, and things must change and things, we're progressive, we have to go to the next level. That's who Brian McLaren is, and he's part of a dialogue called the Advent of Evolutionary Christianity. I want you to notice that they have the so-called Christian fish logo superimposed over the fossilized skeleton of an ancient sea creature. Kind of think about that for a while. Panel number 4, Evolving Church, the Advent of Evolutionary Christianity. Somebody sent me this week and they were saying, Pastor Mike, what is this? Okay, it's about evolution. It's a movement called Verge. It's actually one of these conferences for emerging contemplative, liberal, hippie church people that says, oh, we got to change everything. The Bible, it's not the Word of God. It's the biblical narrative. But we think God is bigger than, we think that God is within sight of us all. And so they named their conference Verge. You know what that is? It's just a shortened form of the word converge. That means these up here are going to clash and bring and join with these down here. Heaven is going to meet with earth. We've talked about that. They shall mingle themselves, converge themselves with the seed of men. And so you see the three stripes there in the word verge. That's what this is. Okay? It's a triple helix. Evolve student ministries. Notice the half circle over the letter E and over the and under the letter O. That's a, as above, so below. That's the convergence of the two kingdoms in Daniel chapter 4. Here we have a church called Revolution Church. Remember, the word evolution is veiled inside the word revolution. And I'll show you that in a minute. Here is a church called Evolve, with one letter E pointing this way and one letter E pointing that way. They're showing, let me show you what that looks like. They're showing opposites. Here's the eagle, the double-headed eagle, the Masonic eagle, which Albert Pike says, well, this represents the heavenly kingdom and this represents the earthly kingdom, and they have converged into one body. That's, see how simple this is? And remember, just stop and think about this. Christianity is supposed to believe that God created everything. And now they're bringing evolution into the church. They've been doing it for years. But not just the evolution that says, well, you know, God created us as monkeys and then we, you know, kind of progress from then. That's not that kind of evolution. The kind of evolution that's in the church now says it's not about where we came from. It's about what we're turning into. We're becoming gods. Everything is changing. A paradigm shift. The evolved church. Here's another one. Evolved church. I want you to notice the letters E-V-O-L. Okay? It's the word love spelled backwards. I want you to remember that because that seems to be like one of the keys of discerning what this is all about. Backwards love. That's like harlotry. It's the opposite of God's pure love. But evolve church. And I want you to notice their symbol. They have this cross here. It's an X chromosome is what it is. And I want you to notice that they have the square and compass pointing in toward the center point of this, okay, on both sides. But also, I want you to kind of look at this for a minute. And I'm going to give you about 5 seconds, and I'll count it down for you. See if you can see a veiled swastika. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's there. Swastika. That's Adolf. Those churches are not belong to Adolf Hitler. Let me tell you something. Adolf Hitler was a product of the occult revolution that took place in the 1800s. And Adolf Hitler was by no means a humanist. By no means was he a Christian. He was an occultist. He was being led and geared by the Thule Society. This group of people was in contact with familiar spirits. And they took an ancient symbol called the swastika. That was a symbol which represented the key to immortality. A swastika is basically an X chromosome with like opposites jammed into it. That's what a swastika is. And think about Adolf Hitler. What did he do when he got into power? He went through Germany and found every child with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he said, "You're the Aryans. You're going to be the super race. You are better than everybody else on this planet." When the evolution comes, that's what the swastika represents. When the evolution comes, it'll happen to you and nobody else. Adolf Hitler was all about evolution, a superior race. We looked at Verifone earlier. Okay, Verifone has this idea of evolution and X chromosomes. Here's Chase Bank. There's a swastika here too. Okay, it's the symbol for man's evolution. Okay, and by the way, it's, you know, Chase is like at the top of the banking world. Why? So that no man can buy or sell, save any of the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So they want to start a revolution. See that word love there? It denotes backward love, harlot love, and it shows you the concealed word evolution. Here is Joyce Myers, who is all about paradigm shifting. And she believes in a love revolution that will lead to evolution. It's about enlightenment. It's about, here's what they think. They say, you know, back, you know, 15 million years ago, we were all hunched over and had hair and we ate bugs, okay? Well, our body, the evolution that is taking place primarily in our bodies, and now, you know, we're this and that and the other, okay? The idea that evolution is going to come, they say it's, you know, it's not like we're going to grow a third arm out of our head. It's not like our ears are going to become massive and we'll be able to hear it. It's more about the evolution of what they call consciousness. You hear things such as a great awakening, a paradigm shift, a new thought, a new form of, a new way of thinking, a new age, enlightenment. All of these terminologies apply to what they refer to as the evolution, the next stage of evolution, which is the evolution of the mind. Transhumanism is all about that. Let me tell you what that really means. One verse, and then we're done. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Remember what that guy said? That guy who said, we're going to have a new race here. Not too long from now, we're going to have a new species. Human being is going to evolve into a new species. We're going to make it happen. Why? Because it's going to be the way we desire for it to happen. And God will turn man over and he will reprobate his mind. Where that, see, it's opposites. The devil's telling everybody, oh, we're going to be enlightened, we're going to be awakened, we're going to be in touch with the spirit realm, with all these things. It's kind of like those who take LSD. They take this drug and all of a sudden they have this heightened awareness and they can see like into dimensions that you and I can't see. It's a chemical way, a temporary way of opening the third eye, the pineal gland, the spirit realm, okay? But then they come down off of it and say, oh, you know, I need some more. There's coming a time when people are going to be awakened like this, and it's going to be permanent. And God calls it giving them over to a reprobate mind. Why? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So, yeah, I guess I do believe in evolution. Not that we came from monkeys, but at some point, most of mankind is going to be changed because they forsook God, and God's going to allow it. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to keep believing the Bible and keep trusting it. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in millions. I don't believe that. I believe 6 days, 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that God will recreate me one of these days because I put my trust in this book. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. Keep praying for us. We'll pray for you. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.